Today is, among other things, it's the last of our series that we've had that we've called Manifesto, and we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, and one of the things that we've been doing over the last 6 weeks or so is interviewing people who work in all sorts of different, or are doing all sorts of different things during the week, and then praying for them. And to round off tonight, let's pray for each other. I was just struck as we were singing that last song, Everything I Am for Your Kingdom's Cause. And for those of you that don't know, we've been having a 48-hour prayer room going on here. So this building has been inhabited by prayer for the last 48 hours, which has been amazing. And I was praying there last night with somebody, and she had a picture of lights kind of going out and light, I can't quite describe it, but kind of lighting up the world and the nation as they went. And I had a sense that that is what God is doing with us. And what a powerful thing. It gives me goosebumps to think that all of us saying, everything I am for your kingdom's cause. What an amazing thing. God's light's going out into the world. Christ's light going out through us. So what I would love to encourage you to do in the next 5 minutes is to ask somebody near you the three questions that we've been asking everybody that we've been interviewing over the last weeks. The three questions are, what does your week ahead look like? Second question is quite a long one. What are the challenges and the encouragements? What are the challenges and the encouragements? And what are you seeking God for in your week? And what can I pray for? So those three questions. What does your week look like? What are the challenges and the encouragements? And what can I pray for? And then pray for the person next to you, because God is sending us out with his light into the world wherever we are. There's some good news about this. There's no qualification to pray, in case anyone is under the conception that there is. There is no qualification to pray, including the amount of faith that you have. If you are sitting here tonight with faith as small as a mustard seed, your prayer can move mountains in the life of the person you're praying for. So turn to the person next to you, ask them those three questions and pray for them. We'll do that for the next 5 minutes or so. Do you want to be drawing your prayers to a close? And what you've been praying for, if you see the people that you're praying with next week, over the coming weeks, remember to check in with them. Let's hear how God has answered the prayers of his people tonight. We'd love to hear more of that. We love to hear testimonies here. So hold on to those conversations. And this is a reminder, really, that that we're all included in this invitation to God's kingdom. It's not bounded by who we are, by what we do, by where we go. God's kingdom, what it looks like when God is fully in charge, when Jesus is on the throne and is reigning. We're all invited, whatever our weeks ahead look like, whether they look challenging, whether they look, we don't really know how they look. Jesus is wanting to be on the throne of our weeks. And on a day like today, when we're mourning what happened in London Bridge last night, we are longing to see God's kingdom come in all its fullness. We're longing to see the kingdom of peace. We're longing to see the kingdom of unity, of joy, of hope. We're longing to see that fulfilled. And we pray in confidence that that is what Jesus our King is doing. He's bringing about his kingdom. So that's why we pray. That's why we've been praying here for 48 hours. And that's why we continue to pray tonight. Another thing that we've been doing today as a church is remembering the work of our mission partners around the world. So we have a bunch of people that we called All Saints all around the world, and they're people whose weeks look probably quite different to a number of our weeks. And we're just going to hear a few insights into what their weeks ahead look like. We ask them to what it's like in their lives to declare the wonders of God. The Bible says that when the Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, people declared the wonders of God in many tongues. So here are a few tasters of what that looks like for our mission partners around the world.
Have you ever seen the wonder in the glimmer of first sight?
Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm serving the Lord in Grenoble, and I want to declare the wonders of God. We're just seeing wonder after wonder happening out here. It's amazing. In a couple of weeks' time, I'm going to be baptizing a converted Muslim from Syria, and I'm going to be baptizing a converted Buddhist from China. It's as if all the world has come to us. Isn't it wonderful that the gospel is so attractive? What a wonderful God we serve. God bless you, and thanks very much for all your love, prayers, and support.
Now, Declan and Janet and Mava to Perendis. We're Rup and Jenny Johnson, and we're currently serving in Kosovo.
A couple of years ago, one of the women in our centre had a vision of Jesus, and she gave her life to him. Last week, she led a friend of hers, a victim of human trafficking, to faith, and she's now mentoring her in the church. That's one of the wonders of God that we have seen in Kosovo.
Wir verkünden die Wunderwerke Gottes. We're Lisa and Jörg Schmidt in Germany.
A new Iraqi believer's wife and children are persecuted by local militias in Iraq. Being in Germany, he is unable to help them and therefore suffered serious depression and doubt. However, through reading the Psalms, he was able to entrust his family fully into the hands of Christ and therefore experiences now a deep peace.
My passion is to ministry children and the youth. We also ministry vulnerable people to show them the love of God and help them live their life for future. We also disciple through games and the sport.
We declare the wonders of God from here in Newcastle. Just a few days ago, we were out on the streets worshipping in the city centre when a man walked by and stopped just a few metres from where we were to listen to what we were doing. After a while, my friend went over to speak to him, and the man began to share about his life and share about some of the struggles he was facing. By the end of their time together, the man had been introduced to Jesus and had given his life to him.
So encouraging to hear these stories, and there are prayer points and praise points from all our mission partners stacked around the church on the pillars. So if after the service you want to head to one of them and pray and pray the blessing of God on one of our mission partners or more than one, then do take the opportunity to do that. We'll hear a few more of those in a bit. And some of these mission partners may know, but it's not an experience that I've had, but I'm told that there's a moment when you're learning a language that it switches and you first dream in that language. I'm told that that's like a significant moment. I've never had this moment. Has anyone ever learned a language and they've got to the stage they've dreamed in it? Hands up if you... A few of you. Okay, yeah, okay. I'm told there's this moment that it kind of goes from your conscious mind when you're having to kind of think and translate things through, that somehow it becomes part of your identity. It becomes part of who you are and the way you express yourself, and that comes out in dreams. And as I say, I've never got that far with a language, but I know that one of the things that people say about languages is that what makes all the difference is living in the country, being immersed in it, hearing it every day, living in the country of that language. That is what translates it from your conscious mind to the subconscious mind when you're dreaming in it, when it becomes part of who you are. So hold those thoughts. Hold that thought of living in another country, being immersed in another country, learning to dream in another language as we go through our first reading. So as I say, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, and today we're wrapping it all up with Matthew chapter 7, page 972. This is the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. So Matthew is kind of doing a bit of a, let's sum this up kind of thing. As he tells of what Jesus has been preaching about. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29, page 972. So I'm going to read it for us. Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. This is the word of the Lord. So yeah, this is a series that we've called Manifesto, and a manifesto or a mission statement is something that can kind of sit on a shelf. You know, a company can set up a mission statement and it sits on the shelf gathering dust. It kind of sits on their logo and no one ever refers back to it again. It can be like flying through a country but only ever really going through the airport. So have a listen over the last few weeks what we've been going through as a church, as an evening service. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount and looking through all sorts of themes. And even more so, go through these few chapters and hear what Jesus has been teaching. And the words that Jesus has spoken, Jesus' hearers may have heard this sermon, and you can imagine them walking away from this, hearing the greatest sermon ever preached, and sort of nodding to each other and maybe repeating the old phrase and commenting, yeah, he's good, isn't he? A great speaker, very good, yeah. And they could have let the words in and out without them really touching the sides. They could have just heard, yeah, that was good, enjoyed that, great. Or they can be foundations. They can be foundations for how we build our life. Proverbs 3 says that by wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundation. By understanding he set the heavens in place. And when the earth feels shaky, it's so good to recall that these are the foundations that God has set the world on. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and its foundations are the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God revealed in Jesus Christ. God's wisdom is self-giving love. That's the foundation on which the earth stands. So will these be our foundations? Jesus promises here that they will keep us strong. They'll keep us stable. Strong and stable. Forgive me, sorry. Okay, forget that. But let's not hear this as an invitation to guilt, but an invitation to another country. To have our citizenship in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. You can hear these words and think that they're nice aspirations, they're nice ideas. That's one choice of what we can do with them, or we can choose to build our life on them. And the way that Jesus describes this, that's the way of wisdom. That's the way of rootedness through storms. Because the truth is, storms will come. And this is a biblical truth running throughout the Bible, that storms will come. You can't escape that truth. For both the wise and the foolish man in the story that Jesus told, there is no escaping the storms. And this week, we know that to be true. There is no escaping the storms of life. In an election week, we remember that political administrations come and go, and they affect us in different ways. This Thursday, by the way, we're praying for the election, 7:30 to 8:30 here in church in the morning. Do come along if you want to pray for the election. But we remember, within the context of our prayers, that whatever political administrations come and go, whatever storms come and go, Jesus gives us a key to a country, a key to a citizenship of the kingdom of heaven, which holds us rock solid. In our own lives, there are changes of jobs, there are changes, there's moving house, there's illness, there are bereavements, there are joys and sorrows, there are celebrations and there are heartaches. And life may be feeling stormy for you at the moment, or it may be feeling calm. But Jesus' promise is that his foundations will hold us. Build a house on him, on his rock, on his teaching, is to build a home that will last. So just a couple of things that came out of that for me. And the first is that building is an active thing. The wise man is building his house on the rock. The wise man's house doesn't appear by him just snapping his fingers and willing a house into being. So when we're born into the new life that Jesus gives us, like the birth of a baby, we don't appear fully formed. We don't appear fully wise at our first confession of Jesus as Lord. We don't appear fully wise all of a sudden by clicking our fingers and wishing it was so. The house isn't fully built. There's some growing to do for all of us. I mean, ain't that the truth? The question is for us is not, what does your finished house look like? The question isn't, you know, what colour have you painted the door frames and, you know, what do the walls look like? We haven't arrived at our finished selves yet. But the question is, since you are building, and you all are, we all are building our lives, since your house isn't complete yet, since there's a way to go, what are the foundations that you're building on? What are you choosing to make your foundation? And Jesus' words that we've been looking at over the last few weeks give us a glimpse of what it's like to build our house on the foundation of Christ. We talked about God's work in our economic lives. And if we build on the foundation of God's abundance, it's a true foundation, it's a strong foundation. If we build on the foundation of God's abundance, we'll build with generosity. We'll be able to build generously if we build on the truth of God's abundance. If we build on the foundation of God's kindness, on the truth that God is kind, then we'll build hearts that are ready to forgive. If we build on the truth that God is kind, then we will learn to be kind, to be reconcilers, to be peacemakers, to be people who choose forgiveness. If we build on the foundation of God's faithfulness, if we build on the truth that God is faithful, that he's utterly trustworthy in his promise to us, then we'll build integrity and honesty, because we need have no fear. We need have no fear about speaking honestly, about acting honestly, even when it feels costly, even when it feels like it might bring shame on us. We need have no fear because God is faithful to his promises. So if we build on the foundation of God's faithfulness, we'll build integrity and honesty. And if we build on the foundation of the truth of God's love towards us, then we'll build a habit of prayerfulness, of turning our worries into prayers. If we build on the truth that God loves us, we will build a habit of turning our worries into prayers. So as I say, not one of us has this house completed. Not one of us, forgive me for saying so, not one of us is fully wise yet. If you have, you know, if you think you're an exception to that, chat with me afterwards, because I need some of that wisdom too. Not one of us is there yet. But what foundations will we build our houses on? The foundations of God are good. He's abundant. He's faithful. He's loving. He's utterly trustworthy. These are strong foundations. And I was thinking about, you know, what practical ways can we do that? And honestly, I don't have any better answer to give than praying. We've been praying this whole weekend, and really that's the way that God has given us to embed these truths in us, to build our house on this rock. Our humble and regular and undramatic prayer, our daily prayer, give us today our daily bread. These are the prayers that build our foundation on this rock. This is the foundation that holds us strong through the storms. They build into us an assurance that God is good, that he's kind, that he's abundant, that he hears us. These are humble and regular and undramatic and life-transforming practices when we choose prayer, when we choose prayer every day, when we build these things into our lives. Things come against them because they're so powerful, because these are such powerful daily disciplines. Things come against them, and we're always tempted not to pray, but they're powerful and they change our lives. So I don't have any other answers to give other than that. That's how we build our house on the rock. And a second thing, there's a wholeheartedness about this picture. When the wise man is building his house on the rock, it's not that he's the picture that Jesus is painting is not, you can take a few bricks from Jesus and a few bricks from elsewhere and kind of, you know, make it work somehow. He's talking about the foundations. He's talking about the very basis on what we build. It's foundational stuff. It's a whole choice. We're transferring our citizenship into God's kingdom. It's a whole life thing. And here's where I'm going to bring Pentecost in. Because today, as well as being a day when we're finishing our manifesto series, it's Pentecost Sunday, as you will know. I've helpfully put in my notes here, read a bit of Acts 2, and I haven't really specified what I'm going to read. So Acts 2, page 1093, I will read a bit of it. this is what happened at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And they were praying. That's what they were doing. They were praying and waiting. Again, 2,000 years ago, that's what they knew to do. And this is what happened. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And they poured out onto the streets and they declared the wonders of God in languages that people, they didn't understand how these people could hear all these different languages. How do they know all these different tongues? They were declaring the wonders of God. And as they were speaking all these different tongues, they were showing that that to be in the kingdom of God is to be a citizen of a new kind of place, to have a new sort of citizenship. It doesn't look like just Galilean people. It doesn't look like Mesopotamian people, as it says in this passage. It doesn't look like just Cappadocian people. It looks like the Spirit poured out on all people. And it looks like all of these peoples are citizens of a new country together. And it results, later on in this chapter, I actually did write out the verse here, that's helpful. Later on in this chapter, from verse 43 onwards, it says this: everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the results of people receiving the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't stay within that house where the people were sitting and waiting and praying. It spills over, and people are drawn to this new country where people love one another, where people serve one another, where people are hospitable towards one another. People are drawn to this extraordinary new citizen, this extraordinary new country, which is really the kingdom of God. They're drawn to this new community. I think we'll see a few more wonders of God from around the world. Let's see the second of our mission partner videos to get a taster of how that is happening in different places around the world.
Meng hatte Rumeng vor Haschnerera Axultum heißt nun.
At Easter we had 10 Hindu students who'd been doing Bible studies with our Indian students here, decided to follow Jesus, and they went into the streets of Yerevan and did an Easter outreach, telling people in Armenia all about Jesus because they themselves had met Jesus. Bye! I see the world in grace. I see the world in
gospel. I see the world your way. Hi, Osmonds. We declare the wonders of God.
Ons verklaar die wonders van God.
And we both work for the U-Turn Homeless Ministries in Cape Town, South Africa.
So one of the reasons why we declare the wonders of God comes from the example of a lady that is currently on our program. In her lowest point, she was living in a dog kennel in her own mother's yard, while her own children were watching their mother's life ebb away through drug taking and other bad habits that she was busy with. But through God's mercy, He intervened during this time and helped her to turn her life around and leave all of that behind. And now she's completely reconciled to her children. They've got a mother back, and she is on the straight and narrow, busy serving God.
Marhaba, nahna na'lam a'ajaib al-Rab. My name is Bangin, I'm from Syria, I'm living in South Yemen.
Hi, my name is Ruth. I used to be a member of All Saints Peckham. We declare the wonders of God in South Lebanon. We've been meeting with a family for the last 8 months and reading the Bible with them, and they are committed to following Jesus and recently have said that they would like to get baptized. I see the world in life, bursting
in living color. I see the world your way. Paul's family, greetings from Northern Uganda. My name is Joseph Odongo Oyikuru. Ameto nyutu pemo sana parwot mungu motemu ikindwa. We were able to reach the unreached with the gospel, and many were able to receive the word of God and accept Jesus Christ as a personal savior. That's what the Lord is doing in our community. And many thanks for your support. May God bless you.
Thank God for the crowdfunding students group and for the new students who committed to the discipleship course.
We thank God for Abby, one of our volunteers who was healed of asthma a couple of weeks ago, and for all the fruit that we've seen from the church planting team who came out and worked here in March and April in one of the main cities.
So, of course, the truth is that we don't need to be across the seas to declare the wonders of God. As we've been learning as we pray for each other, the citizenship that we share with all these partners from around the world is the citizenship of the kingdom of God. We share that with Christian brothers and sisters all over the world. We share it with Christian brothers and sisters who will vote in any number of different ways this election. It's not confined. We share it with one another, the citizenship of the kingdom of God. There's no qualification for our entry. There aren't any checks to make sure that we fit. The entrance is wide open. It's the invitation which Jesus makes in his Sermon on the Mount. And Pentecost was this wonderful moment when the Holy Spirit came in power on Jesus' disciples. And what it did was move them to another country. It moved them to be citizens of the kingdom of heaven, to love one another as fellow citizens, for other people to be drawn to this new place. So when you're in a new country, there's this new language to learn, and it'll take a while before you dream in it. It's the first fruits. That's what Pentecost meant. That's what Pentecost was, the first fruit, a harvest of the first fruits. So it's not complete. It's the taster of the fullness of God's kingdom, which is to come. And we long for God's kingdom to come in our lives in full, in our world in full. We long to dream the language of the kingdom of God. So we believe that the Holy Spirit still speaks to us today, and we believe that the Holy Spirit is available and ready and waiting to fill us again today. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to do that, and it may be that God has particular things to say to some of you. I was wondering whether he might have particular calls on some people's lives here. He might want to whisper in your ear a particular call that he has for you today. So we're going to spend some time listening to what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you. It may be that there are some people here who would, for the first time, consciously like to say yes to the invitation of Jesus to his kingdom. It may be that that's something that you've heard about before, but you've never really fully said yes to. In a moment, I'll be praying a prayer which you are welcome to join in with if you want to say yes to Jesus' invitation to his kingdom. And others of us may have said yes to that kingdom before, but we'd like to respond again. We'd like to respond to the fullness of his invitation. We want to start dreaming in the language of the kingdom, so we ask for a fresh outpouring of his Spirit. So in a moment, I'm going to pray. Maybe the band want to come up. I'm looking around for band people. Yes, over there. And I'm going to pray for us. I'll pray and I'll leave some pauses so that, you know, if there are, you want to echo that prayer in your hearts, or pray in your own words in your heart, then please do that. And then I think we'll spend some time listening, so we won't sing right away, but maybe we'll listen to what God is saying. And as I say, we believe that the Holy Spirit still speaks to us today. And if you think he's got something to say to us as a whole community, then come and speak to Georgia or me, and we will share that if that feels right. It may be that he's got something personal to say to you, a personal call on your life, a personal invitation to you. And if that's something you want to stand alongside somebody to pray and to hear a bit more clearly, then if you want to come to the side, then somebody will be more than willing to pray for you, or just turn to the person next to you who's already prayed for you, so you've broken that barrier. Ask them to pray again, to stand alongside you in what you think you're hearing from God. But yeah, shall we pray? And we're going to listen out to hear the invitation of God. And I'll pray a prayer of response to that invitation. If you want to echo it in your hearts, then please do. Holy Spirit, we are here and we are listening. You have such an invitation to us. You have such an invitation into life in all its fullness. Into the kingdom of Jesus, Prince of Peace. Lord of Lords, the only wise King. And Jesus, we thank you. I thank you that you are a good, wise, loving King. I believe that you came to this world as its creator, as its savior, to rescue us from sin and death. Where I have put another king first, where I have followed another way, where I followed my own way, when I've put anything else on your throne, I'm sorry for that, and in your presence I ask for your forgiveness. I ask confidently because you are good and forgiving. And I turn away from the wrong ways I have followed, and I turn to you. I bow my knee to you, good and loving King. I say yes to your kingdom. I say yes to your kingdom in me. If it helps to open your hands, then do that to say yes to God's kingdom, to his Holy Spirit. And we ask, Lord, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh, we pray. Pour out your Spirit among us. Fill me with your Spirit to send me as an agent of your kingdom into this world. Empower me with your Spirit on your loving mission.